I'll invite you to turn with me in your Bible, or one provided for you in the chair in front of you, to Genesis chapter 45 as we continue in our series in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 45, and before we read chapter 45, let me remind you of what took place in chapter 44. There we saw Joseph test his brothers once again. He told his steward to hide his special silver cup in Benjamin's sack in order to accuse Benjamin of stealing it. And when his steward had overtaken the brothers as they were on their way back to Canaan, and the cup was discovered in Benjamin's sack, Joseph threatened to keep Benjamin in prison, literally in a pit, and to send the other brothers back to Canaan. Joseph was testing his brothers to see if they would treat Benjamin the same way they had treated him those many years before, if they would abandon Benjamin to that pit in Egypt as they had abandoned Joseph in that pit in Canaan over two decades before. Well, the brothers passed the test. Joseph and all of us were able to see growth in grace in the lives of his brothers, and indeed, most especially in Judah, whose idea it had been to sell Joseph into slavery. Now he was willing to become Joseph's slave in Egypt for the sake of his brother, Benjamin. He pled with Joseph to imprison him in Benjamin's stead, and he did so out of love for Benjamin, but especially out of love for his father, Jacob. And Judah said to Joseph at the end of chapter 44, in verse 33 there, Judah pled with Joseph, "Now therefore please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father." And so what we have in Genesis 45 is Joseph's response to Judah's supplications. Let's take a look. Genesis 45, beginning in verse 1, this is the word of the one true and living God. "Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, 'Make everyone go out from me.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please.' And they came near. And he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, Joseph's brothers have come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. The sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the journey. To each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on the way. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father, Jacob, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank you for this moving passage, brimming with your covenant faithfulness and hope for your covenant people, and brimming with the brotherly affection of Joseph toward his brothers that prefigures your brotherly affection for us. Grip us once again by your Spirit, who sheds abroad your love in our hearts, that we might see your great love for us, and that we might be transformed by that love, that we might grow as a people who love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. We pray in the strong and saving name of Christ, our elder brother. Amen. Well, in our series in Genesis, we have considered how Genesis points to Jesus. And now that the narrative has shifted focus on Joseph in these several remaining chapters, we have and will continue to consider some of the ways that Joseph himself prefigured Christ. Both Joseph and Jesus, we see in Scripture, were loved by their father. Both were sent by their father to seek the welfare of their brothers. But both were envied and despised without cause and forsaken by their brothers. Both Joseph and Jesus were sold for silver into the hands of Gentiles. Both Joseph and Jesus went to Egypt. Both resisted fierce temptation. Both were falsely accused. Both were arrested and numbered with transgressors. Both went through a period of humiliation in which they proved their faithfulness. Both were exalted after that humiliation to positions of power and authority. Both were granted success and fruitfulness in all that they did. This evening we see something of Jesus once again in the life of Joseph, specifically in the way in which Joseph demonstrated brotherly affection to his undeserving brothers. I want us to consider how Joseph's affection for his brothers points to Jesus Christ, his affection for us, and how it informs us in terms of how we are to treat one another. First of all, I want you to notice from our passage that brotherly affection is marked by unrestrained feeling. Brotherly affection is marked by unrestrained feeling. We see this in the life of Joseph. Now, back in Genesis chapter 43 and verses 29 through 31, we are told that when Joseph first saw Benjamin, he had to hurry out of the room because his compassion grew warm for his brother. That's what the writer says. Joseph's compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. He entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And the writer says, and controlling himself, he said, serve the food. Now, the same words are used in verse 1 of chapter 45, only here we read, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by. Joseph could no longer contain his emotions in the presence of his brothers. He had to demonstrate his feelings for his brothers. He could restrain them no more. He wept aloud. And we see this unrestrained feeling for his brothers communicated again down in verse 14. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. What a beautiful picture of reconciliation, of restoration, of the years of the Lord giving back the years that the locusts had eaten. And it was all because Joseph stopped restraining his feeling of love toward his brothers. That is a foreshadowing of our Lord Jesus, is it not? And his unrestrained feeling of love that he demonstrated toward those whom he loved in his earthly pilgrimage, the days of his flesh on this earth, which is a window into the way in which Christ continues to feel toward his brothers and sisters. If you haven't been one to memorize Scripture regularly, and you're looking for a verse with which to start off this new chapter of your life, memorizing Scripture, let me recommend John 11 and verse 35, which says, Jesus wept. It's a great place to start to build your confidence in Scripture memorization. Two words, Jesus wept. But oh, is that verse packed with profound meaning for us, profound Christology for us. It is a window into the heart of the incarnate God. It's a window into the triune life of God. Jesus wept. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend who had died. And in verse 36, we read the Jews said, see how he loved him. Look at the way in which Jesus loved Lazarus. So it is to be for you and for me. We are called to love one another like that. We're to allow ourselves to demonstrate love to one another. We mustn't let pride get in the way of showing love for other people, especially within the family of God. We must ask the Lord to sanctify our emotional life. that it might be like Joseph's was here when he was restored to his brothers, and like Jesus' emotions were at the tomb of Lazarus. I have a good friend who has been in ministry for a long time, and he tells the funny story of how he was at a funeral for relatives, and there were several eulogies given, and there was a lot of crying. And afterward, he and his wife were driving down the road, and he was saying to her how at his funeral he did not want all that crying. He said, "You know, I'm of Scottish descent. We don't do that. I don't want all this crying and carrying on. I don't believe in crying and showing emotion like that." And his wife said to him, "So you're more spiritual than Jesus now." And he quickly changed the subject and said, "Look at that herd of cattle over there on the hill." Dear friends, we mustn't be more spiritual than Jesus in our emotional restraint. We must ask the Lord to sanctify our emotions and make them like Jesus' emotion. Now, we all have different personalities. Some of us are more emotional than others. Some of us are more stoic than others, and that's fine. But we mustn't let our pride keep us from demonstrating love and restraining the feeling of love practically demonstrated to our brothers and sisters in Christ. B.B. Warfield has a wonderful essay called "The Emotional Life of Jesus." You can look it up on the internet and read it on the internet. But speaking of the brotherly affection that Jesus demonstrated at the tomb of Lazarus and elsewhere, Warfield said, "We are not to be content to gaze upon him or to merely admire him. We must become imitators of him until we are metamorphosed into the same image." So remember that word, metamorphosed. We're to be metamorphosed, we're to be transformed into the image of Jesus in terms of his emotional life. We mustn't allow our pride to restrain our Christian charity towards our brethren. Brotherly affection is marked by unrestrained feeling. Secondly, brotherly affection is marked by unreserved faithfulness. Unreserved faithfulness. The brotherly affection that Joseph demonstrated was part and parcel of his life of faithfulness, especially his faithfulness, his fidelity toward, his desire to honor his father. His brotherly affection was part and parcel of his desire to render to his father unreserved honor and faithfulness. Joseph had demonstrated faithfulness to his father long before he had been sold into slavery. I know how his father delighted in Joseph's faithfulness. But that faithfulness remained even though he had not seen his father in over two decades. His devotion to his father was surely a tremendous motivation for the way in which he treated his brothers. Notice his first question after he revealed his identity in verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." Then look at the next thing out of his mouth. "Is my father still alive?" And notice his instructions to them. In verse 9, "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry.'" And again in verse 13, "You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." and how he lavished his father in verse 23 with good things, honoring his father. And Jacob's response in verses 25 through 28, he delights in the news of his son's prosperity, and he rejoices that he will get to see his father again, his son again. It's this beautiful picture of this father-son relationship, one of mutual esteem and honor and fidelity. So it is in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially we see this in his sacrifice for you and me. Jesus' sacrifice for us was an expression of his love for his Father. In the garden, as he contemplated the cup of God's wrath that he was going to drink for you and me, what kept Jesus going was his commitment to his Father and his Father's will. On the cross, what kept Jesus there was his devotion to his Father. Jesus was offering himself, as Hebrews 9:14 tells us, he was offering himself without blemish through the eternal Spirit to the Father. It was an act of devotion. It was an act of worship. Unreserved faithfulness to his Father. Jesus' ongoing brotherly affection to us is still, even now, an act of faithfulness to his Father in keeping and loving the ones whom his Father gave to save. And so we are called to love one another out of faithfulness to our common Father. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Scripture is just real straightforward, isn't it? You're a liar. If you go around saying that you love God, but you don't make it one of your supreme goals in life to demonstrate love to the people that God's placed in your life, then you are a liar. You don't love God, and you should seriously examine yourself and repent and prove that you belong to God. If it's not your habit to demonstrate that you belong to the Lord by your love for your brothers and sisters. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And then in 1 John 5:1, which Dr. Jerby in God's Providence read earlier in the service, John says, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Or as the NIV translates it, everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Joseph's unreserved faithfulness to his father led him to exercise extraordinary love, sacrificial love, towards his brothers. So it was for Christ. So it must be for us. Unrestrained feeling, unreserved faithfulness. And finally, brotherly affection is marked by unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Joseph demonstrated lavish, unmerited favor toward those brothers who had despised, rejected him, sold him into slavery, told their father that he was dead, and so on. Joseph pardoned them. He forgave them on a personal level. But Joseph had great authority. He could have punished them. He had the authority to punish these men. He pardoned them. He spoke peace to them verses 4 and 5. He preserved them, verses 5 and 7. He provided lavishly for them and their families, the rest of the passage. Proverbs 19:11 says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." It is the glory of a man or a woman to overlook an offense. That is what Joseph exhibited towards his brothers. He did not let bitterness or anger, sinful anger, consume him. We've seen him wrestle with that. In the chapters leading up to this, we've seen him wrestle with it. But he did not allow it to consume him. He reflected God's glory by overlooking their offenses. Jesus demonstrated his brotherly affection for us and his unmerited favor for us by laying down his life for us. And even now, this is what we ought to contemplate too. Not just what Jesus has done for us, as important as that is, but think of it on a daily basis, how he continues to bear from us what we would not bear from, what we often fail to bear from other people. How he continues to love us day by day in the midst of our foolishness, our fits and starts, and our foibles. He loves us still. He lavishes unmerited, it's ceaseless, manifold, unmerited favor. It never stops. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's coming from the throne of Jesus right down to us. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 gives us a glimpse into the heart of Jesus. Even now, right now, this very moment, it says, "Both the one who makes people holy," that's Jesus, "and those who are made holy," that's us, "are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." And now, that's amazing. That Jesus, before the throne of God, before the holy angels and all the martyrs and all the saints, he claims you as his own. He's not ashamed of you. He doesn't act embarrassed about you. He claims you. He says, "That is my brother. That is my sister. I've loved them, given myself for them, and I'll never stop loving." We are called to show each other that kind of love, that kind of undeserved, unashamed, brotherly affection. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." You say, "Well, so-and-so doesn't deserve it." Well, you don't deserve it either. But Jesus has lavished you with love and forgiveness. We emphasize this in our study of Acts, but I can't get over the way that Ananias approached Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. After the Lord commissioned that godly man Ananias to go to Saul, Saul was blind, and in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, first words out of Ananias' mouth to Saul of Tarsus, that persecutor of the church, were what? "Brother Saul." That is unmerited favor. This one who despised the Lord Jesus, this one who despised the church, this one who was trying to destroy the church, newly converted, Ananias does not go up to him and say, you know, you persecutor Saul, you awful scum of the earth Saul. No, he demonstrated the very adopting love of God the Father through God the Son by God the Spirit. He said, brother Saul. That's how we're to treat each other, with that kind of unmerited favor. 1 Peter 4:8. Peter knew unmerited favor. He knew it deeply. 1 Peter 4:8, Peter says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Brothers and sisters, let's follow in the footsteps of Joseph and the way he treated his brothers in Genesis 45. And let us look to Jesus for his grace, that we might love others the way that he has loved us. Let us, in the words of Paul in Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. And Lord, we thank you for one another. We thank you for our brothers and sisters, the membership of this congregation. We thank you especially for those in this sanctuary tonight. Help us to love each other the way that you love us. Help us to love each other with unrestrained feeling. Help us not allow our pride to restrain us from having and showing affection, godly, sanctified, God-honoring affection for one another. Help us to be marked by unreserved faithfulness to you, our Heavenly Father, in such a way as to show our love for one another. And help us, Lord, to be marked by brotherly affection that is demonstrated through unmerited favor. Help us to forgive and love one another the way that you have forgiven and loved us. Through Christ we pray. Amen.